Yo, peace. It's your man Mo Morris, the one man army, and welcome to Strictly for the Brothers. Brothers, you know, man, I'm sitting here, man. It's a Saturday afternoon and I'm chilling, man. It's my rest day. But I got something on my heart that I gotta drop right now. Right? So yesterday, I dropped something for y'all where I was talking about, I was asking a question, can black men stop murdering black men, right? So I'm doing a survey. Hell, I might even post it on Facebook. And I wanna hear what people believe, what they think. So today, I was back at the shop and I asked the question, and it was an older gentleman in the chair. I would say he had a hair full of gray. He was salt and pepper. I would say he's anywhere from 4 to 7 years older than me. Right? I would say he graduated from high school in the 80s. Right? So, you know, he was like, nah, black men can't stop killing black men. And I said, brother, you really believe that? And he was like, yeah. Right? So I'm like, man, that's crazy. And he's a black man now. He a black man, and he believe in his mind, he believe that black men cannot stop killing black men. Right? Okay. So, you know, we all thumb through the phone and get on YouTube, this, that, and the third, right? So I was looking at all the different beefs that black men are involved in, right? I saw my man Corey Holcomb. He from the crib. Him and Ryan Davis are beefing, right? Now, my experience with Ryan Davis, I'm not going to say I've never seen none of his stand-up. You know why? Because Ryan Davis has dropped a lot of knowledge out there in the street. He didn't point out some things. He didn't spoke to some issues. And I'm feeling Ryan Davis on that, right? Corey Holcomb coming at Ryan Davis because Corey Holcomb is pointing out that he might be gay and he got ran out of L.A. and all this, that, and the third, right? And I see where Corey coming from. He a Chicago nigga through and through. He talk cash shit. And he going to stand on his. And he going to look you straight in the face. And he going to cut it clean with you. That's Corey. That's Chicago. Right? But no, Corey a G to me. That man from the crib, and he made it. Right? No question. Then I was checking out Gilly the Kid and Rick Ross. Beefing. Right? Beefing. Right? And then I sat back and I started thinking. And I'm like, that's four black men. That's four black men shooting shots at each other about what? Right? My question is, you got cats. Is this what it is to be successful as a black man, G? You know, I'm asking that question, right? I'm asking that question. I look at all these black men, and we got some. Corey Holcomb is successful. Ryan Davis is successful. Rick Ross is successful. Gilly the Kid is successful, right? Those are successful brothers. Gilly the Kid married. Got his wifey 20 plus years, right? Is this what it is to be a successful black man? Everywhere you look with successful black men, you'll hear about a beef before you hear about some unity. Before you hear about somebody giving, who is turning around and giving back to the hood? And I ain't talking about no basketball camps, family. And I ain't talking about no gym shoes and basketball giveaways. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about who is going back in the hood and setting up programs, computer programs. Who is setting up programming in the hood to help cats make it that don't rap, that don't play sports? Who is setting up career development programs for the hood and for their people? Hell, you can give me a wing stop right on, praise God, right on to your business acumen. But What else are we doing for our people, family? I'm talking about successful people. And I ain't trying to tell you where to spend your money. Praise God, that's your money. But if you ain't going to break bread, if you ain't going to come back and build no staircase to heaven for the hood, why in God's name are you acting a damn fool in front of the hood? I mean, look, man, I can't tell nobody where they can spend their money. I remember Jim Brown. Some of y'all might not remember Brother Jim. Brother Jim was a man's man. Don't get it twisted, man. He tore the NFL up. When he retired from the NFL, he was the NFL lead in Russia. And trust me, he could have played 5 to 7 more years, y'all. But my man Jim went and got into the movies. You know, Jim Brown had the first love scene with a white woman in film. You understand? Jim was that dude, right? Jim Brown. Jim Brown used to call out athletes and talk about what they need to do with their money. You know what I'm saying? And then I remember Jackie Joyner Kersee. Some of y'all might not remember her, but this sister was one of the best black athletes of all time. She was one of the best black athletes of all time. She is one of the greatest black athletes of all time. And I want you to understand this woman was cold. And I did not say she was the best, one of the best black female athletes of all times. I said she's one of the best athletes of all time. But in our culture, she stands on top of the game. And in America, she stands on top of the game. She's a gold medalist. She a G, right? She told Jim Brown, you can't tell me what to do with my money. Right? Once again, you had a room full of successful black people arguing about what to do with their money. Why is it that when black people get successful and other black people who are successful, why we always fighting? And I ain't saying all black people are fighting, but it's one of two things with black successful people. And I don't want to generalize and say all black folk, because that ain't fair. But doggone it, the individuals who are up and down the TV screen and on the radio and on the movie film and all this, that, the third, you never hear about them in the hood. And I ain't saying they in the hood. I ain't saying they ain't giving back to the hood. Hell, I got to give it to my dude, Kodak Black. Kodak Black, go back to the hood. Kodak Black bought a whole housing project air conditions. That should have been on the front cover of the news, homie. He should have shot it live. He should have showed the air conditions getting installed. You don't see that about Kodak Black. Kodak Black still go back to his neighborhood. Yeah. Yes, he does. That boy ain't 28 years old, man. And he going back and he giving back to the hood, but that's never promoted. And you know why that is? And I know this for a fact. They tell you don't promote that stuff because people going to label you like you're attention seeking. They tell you, they literally tell you, don't let nobody see you doing good, because then people going to try to take advantage of you, and then everybody going to be running you down, asking you for some money and this, that, and the third. They always present being helpful and giving back as a sign of weakness, and people going to try to get you. They always do that. They did it to DeMarcus Cousins. Big DeMarcus Cousins, when he was playing in Sacramento. That boy did so much for the Sacramento community and didn't show none of it. But they sure enough show him getting them technical fouls. They sure enough show him arguing with the referee. They make it seem like he's out of control. They make it seem like he's an angry black man who always arguing with his coach and this, that, and the third. That's not what it is. But then he hurt himself by not promoting what he does positive. Brothers, we got to stop fighting each other. Hell, worrying about killing each other. We got to stop fighting each other. Brothers, we got to work together, man. And we got to work together out in the open, man. I remember I was watching this video, family, of these fathers at this high school, how they would come and greet the children when they came to school. I'm talking about a row of fathers, black men, working together, making a difference. The children feeling good. They feeling good. The staff feeling good. But you don't see that. But every damn day you hear about a black man killing another black man. Every damn day. It's so much murder going on, family, that you don't even believe good is taking place. It's so much death, murder, and crime that there are literally black clouds hanging over the hood, at least the spirit of the people. Tell me I'm lying. Tell me people feel safe in their neighborhood and black communities. Look me in my face and tell me black women, black children, black teenagers, black young men, black young women, grandmamas, tell me they feel safe in their community, family. But why is that? Because the black man is running around terrorizing his community. Why? Why is that accepted? Oh, somebody gonna look me in my face and tell me that's how this supposed to go? Hell no, I'm not accepting that, family. And brothers, you gotta get a fire lit up under you, family. You know, you gotta quit going along with the train, family. We literally believe that black men are gonna kill black men until now, until the end of time. And if, brother, you believe that, you need to fall on your knees and ask God to change your mind. Because if you're saying to me that you believe that black men are going to continue to kill black men, that means down the line, a man in your family is going to get touched by another black man or going to do the touching. And if you're telling me that's acceptable, once again, brother, you need to fall to your knees and ask God to change your mind. This is unacceptable. I'm a black man, and I'm not about to sit up here and be afraid of other black men. I ain't going. I'm not going, man. And you shouldn't go either, brother. How in God's name am I supposed to sit up here and live in a society, in a culture of people? Hell with society. I'm talking to black people. I'm talking to black men right now. How in the hell are we supposed to honestly look children in the face and say we fighting for their future and we running around here believing that it's just going to be the way it is? We believing that black men going to continue to kill black men? Hell no. Hell no. Hell no. I'm not accepting that, and you shouldn't accept it either. I ain't going, man. What's the point of taking the robotic program into the schools and working with these children and helping them gain some self-esteem and to realize what they can be in their future if I'm going to accept the fact that one of them going to kill one of the other ones? If I'm sitting in the room saying it's just the way it is, I ain't going, family. You mean to tell me that we think it's okay that we as black men have to honestly accept in our mind that if our life is taken from us, if we're murdered 90% of the time, it's going to be by another black man? Hell no. Man, you need to start opening your mouth. You need to start talking to the men in your family. You need to, if you going to church and foaming at the mouth, and where are the prayer warriors at? You always running up in the church and foaming at the mouth and all this, that, and the third. And now we got a murder spree amongst our males and we ain't got nothing to say about that? Is that acceptable? Praying ain't enough, family. You know, prayer is supposed to be the fuel to your faith. That's what prayer is supposed to do. Prayer is supposed to be the fuel to your faith, and your faith is supposed to take you where your mind can't go. Faith is supposed to give you a mental strength. Faith is supposed to give you protection. Faith is supposed to give you the energy to get it done. Faith is supposed to give you the boldness. Faith is supposed to give you the courage. We run around here foaming at the mouth, drinking Jesus' blood and eating his body once a month, but we got to sit up here and be part of a culture that accepts the fact that black men going to continue to kill black men, and then the black men that's in the forefront that can be seen, all they doing is fighting with each other. Man, that's BS. That's BS. I don't want nobody telling me nothing about no rosé. I don't want nobody telling me about no bottle of liquor. I don't want nobody telling me about no car to buy. I don't want nobody to tell me about what type of shoes to buy. Damn it. Say something about this black on black crime and these black men killing each other. But you can't stand up and say nothing against no black man killing each other when you promoting killing black men in your music. When you sitting right next to a homie that's a murderer, a rapist, a criminal. You can't speak righteousness to a people when you moving in the foolishness, when you praising the foolishness. You talking about a drug kingpin owe you 1,000 favors. What you owe the hood, family? What you owe the hood? You owe the hood more than chicken wings, don't you? You owe the hood more than the podcast, don't you? You owe the hood more than jokes, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Man, all these cats I'm talking about come from the hood. All the majority of the brothers you looking at on TV come from the hood. The majority of the homies you looking at dunking that basketball is from the hood. The majority of the homies that's scoring touchdowns is from the hood. The majority of the homies that's rapping in that booth is from the hood. And ain't nobody got nothing to give back to the hood except BS. Ain't nobody got nothing to give back to the hood except blood and violence, rape, disrespect. Huh? Ain't nobody got nothing to give back to the hood except ball sauce. Ain't nobody got nothing to give back to the hood except cleats and gym shoes and gloves to wear. Ain't nobody got no game to give back, huh? No, you ain't got no game to give back because the very people that you getting your check from is telling you that you need to stay away from your people, and that's what you doing. And the only thing you giving your people is material to buy and BS to soak into their spirit and some liquor to drink. Or you're going to give them the name brand of the clothes to go buy so you and that person can make some money. But that person making more money off everybody and you sending your people off and you can't even come back and talk about nothing. You ain't got a leadership development program. You ain't got a character program. You ain't character development program. You ain't got a mentoring program. Hell, you ain't even got a tutoring program. And Mo, what you talking about? Leave them alone. Let them live their life. Yeah, I know. But if you're going to live your life, then you telling me that part of your life is to spew out your mouth and to send people off and to mislead our children and to condone murder, then you can kiss my table, family. You can move down the road with that, G. Don't nobody need that around here. So if you can sit up here and not pour positivity into the hood, that's your prerogative. You can do what you want to do. But I'd be damned if you can turn around and pump BS back into the hood and ain't nobody gonna say nothing. We ain't got no standards. That's what the problem is. We don't got no standards. We'll let anybody say anything to us. You know what I'm saying? If somebody walked up to you and muffed you right now, what would you do? I'm talking about put their whole palm on the side of your eye and muffed you. I'm talking about with confidence, homie. I'm talking about that I'm in eighth grade, you in fourth grade muff. What would you do? Tell me. Tell me if a cat muffed you right now, male or female. I'm talking about muffed you. Muffed you, family. I'm talking about your neck snapped the whole nine. You shift with the muff and everything. What you going to do? What you going to do? Are you going to talk about it? Are you going to ask them, hey, man, what's up? What's wrong with you, nigga? What you going to do? You going to ask a question or are you going to put your paws up? Because they didn't already muffed you. So what is there to talk about? Right? We get muffed every day as a people. We get muffed every day as a people. We get muffed, homie. I'm talking about muffed. You understand? Oh, ain't nobody muffing me, Mo. Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. Black folks, y'all, we don't get muffed. And I ain't saying y'all. I'm saying us. Black folks, we don't get muffed. Anybody gonna look? Hey, I'm always saying this. Black Lives Matter muffed us. Black Lives Matter muffed us. Muffed us. Muffed us. Right? Politicians muffed us every 4 years. Muffed us. Joe Biden muffed us. Muffed us. Told our so-called leaders that he wasn't gonna do nothing. Muffed us. And we all heard him say it. We all heard the conversation with the so-called black leaders. We all heard that. We all heard that. Muffed us. Muffed us. President Obama muffed us. President Obama sit up there and said that he is president of the United States. He not just president of black people. But when you go check the record, and I ask that you all please go do this. Please go do this. Please go check the record. If you go look at President Obama's presidency, his executive orders, he has multiple executive orders mandating that Hispanics, the Spanish, the Mexican, the illegal immigrant, they all get big boy education. They all get big boy facilities. It's in the executive orders. He wrote that into law. And then I sit back and I look, right? I think I'm from Chicago, y'all. I'm born and raised in Chicago. And just so happened in Chicago, the Hispanic, the Mexicans, man, they blew up. You should see the schools that the Mexicans got in Chicago, y'all. And I ain't talking about one or two of them, y'all. I'm talking about big boy schools, homie. State of the art, soccer field, big boy computer lab, family. But of course they got that if it's mandated and it's an executive order written by the president of the United States. Tell me one executive order that President Obama wrote specifically for black people, and I'll be quiet. He muffed us. But you know what, y'all? President Obama wasn't the first one to muff his family. Black folks so used to get muffed, it ain't even funny. Well, let me tell you this. I answer the question. If somebody tried to muff me, first of all, they not getting their hands near my face. That's one. Two, they not getting in my personal space like that. Because you got to be close to somebody to muff somebody, family. And if somebody feel they going to dance up on me like that, I'm going to put these paws to work. I ain't even got no conversation because we grown, homie. You know what personal space is. And somebody will look you in the face. You can see what somebody on when you look them in their eyes. And if you looking like you think you about to muff Mo Morris, nah, dog, you're going to end up flying through some glass. Period. I don't play them games, G. So excuse me if I come off a tad bit brash and aggressive. Because that's who I am. Ain't nobody muffing me, dog. Nobody. And if you try to muff me, you're going to feel me. Trust me. Because I ain't the dude to muff. Matter of fact, I ain't the dude to allow nobody to muff me. I ain't the dude to let nobody get their hands on me, homie. Period. We need a little bit more edge to the game, brothers. You know, we need to stop fighting each other and come together and fight. You know, we need to stop fighting east inside and we need to come together on the inside and move forward on the outside. You know, I was thinking about my brother in Detroit, man. This cat in Detroit, man. I love this dude, though. You know, he out there snapping. He out there cussing. He don't care. He just to the face. He stepping to the Arab store owner that didn't disrespect black folks. He shutting stores down. He ain't playing. Because he getting tired of black folks getting muffed in Detroit. And he ain't talking nice. And he ain't talking about getting along. And he's stepping to dope boys. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, you think about the drug epidemic. Right? You think about the drug epidemic. You know, I was born. I saw the crack invasion. I saw it. I was born in 74. So I saw what crack did to the hood. I saw the change of the hood, right? Right? That's a fact. And can't nobody look me in my face and say the crack invasion wasn't organized. You know, they even showed how the president of the United States with the Contras, they showed how they used the drug money to buy guns for the Contras. They showed that. That's a fact. That's not a lie. If you remember the Oliver North trials, it was unbelievable. It implicated the CIA, the president. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It's ridiculous, right? So think about this opioid epidemic, Just think about that. And think about how they reacted to it. And they reacted to it because their children were ODing now, right? Man, laws were passed. Pharmaceutical companies got hit, which is unheard of. Nobody really went to jail, though. Right? Nobody went to jail. But you know, it was fines, it was $1 billion, it was centers opened up, it was addiction centers, and let's help these people with their addiction. This is inhumane. This is wrong. Like my man Nino Brown said in New Jack City, ain't no poppy fields in the hood, homie. How did crack get into the hood, homie? They arrested crack fiends, family. Not just the crack dealer. If you were on crack, if you were high off crack, they would arrest you for being under the influence of a controlled substance. Yes, they did. You know, there's a show that comes on. It highlights Bumpy Johnson. Forrest Whitaker plays Bumpy Johnson, right? And why in God's name are we celebrating Bumpy Johnson, G? Another black man. Another black man. And what did Bumpy Johnson do? Bumpy Johnson, they promote this on TV and we watch it. I didn't watch the show, I ain't gonna lie. But I saw what Bumpy Johnson was doing. Bumpy Johnson was moving heroin on the black community in partnership with the Italians. That is Bumpy Johnson for all the good he did and how he helped and this, that, and that. Bumpy Johnson pumped heroin into the black community. That's a fact. Black man, we have to stop harming our people. We are not here to harm our people. The reason the black community is facing the challenges they are facing because the black man is doing this to his community. That's how strong the black man is, y'all. The black man is so, you want to see the strength of the black man? Look at what the black man is doing to black people. You want to see the strength of the black man? There are more black men in jail than anybody. We number one in that, G. We number one in killing each other. We number one in dying. That's how powerful the black man and where we put our energy at. I'm talking about the movement. And when you look at this world, man, our movement looked like it's negative as black men because the majority are without substance. Our movement seems like it's without substance and it's a little top heavy negative because the black man that's seen on TV is a black man without substance and a black man that's glorifying violence, death, and murder. That's a fact. Think about it. You see your entertainers on TV, right? I remember I heard Denzel Washington say a speech one time. He was speaking at a graduation, and he gave a profound speech, family. But if I wasn't surfing through the internet that day, if we didn't have the internet, I wouldn't even know Denzel can even talk like that. Because Denzel don't say nothing like that in any other place. I know Denzel as an entertainer. So what I know of Denzel, how I met Denzel is without substance. I met him as an entertainer, right? You look at your athletes. Our athletes, they're athletes, but are they really bringing anything of substance besides their 40-yard dash or their ability to hit jumpers? LBJ is a dope individual. LeBron James is a dope individual. I will always stand up and clap for the black man that LeBron is. Hell, man, if LeBron mess up, I'm going to still stand up and clap. Because he human, man. But that man done held it down. He done walked with his head high. Is he perfect? Hell no. But I'm wondering, what of substance do we get from LeBron? Because, yes, he's opened his school and things like that. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I'm talking about, for the most part, how do you identify LeBron James? You identify LeBron James as a basketball player, an entertainer, right? I look at a dude, an outspoken individual like Samuel Jackson. He's outspoken, but I associate him with the credit card service more and him being an actor. Hell, I remember the first movie Samuel Jackson was in, and that was Coming to America number one. He's the dude that stuck up the McDowell's. But Sam Jack ain't never coming out in the forefront spending no knowledge to nobody. They not. And I'm sorry, you could be like, well, man, Mo, what make you feel like they should say something? It should be a burden in every black man. I'm sorry, y'all. But we ain't, hey, man, if we number one in going to jail, then we as black men need to do something. If we number one in killing other black men, we as black men should do something. Period. Period. If it wasn't for a black man and black people, black women, black children coming together to make a difference, where would we be at in this society, family? If no one gave a damn? If no one gave a damn, where would we be at? If the brothers and sisters didn't decide to stand up against those fire hoses and those dogs, them brothers and sisters was getting on the back of the bus. And I hope you understand what that means, family. They had to they had to pay, get off, and walk to the back of the bus. Do you hear me? I was on the bus that Rosa Parks decided, because they got it at the museum in Memphis, where she decided not to get up. What if Rosa Parks said, you know what? Let me just get up and go on to the back, because this is just how it is, G. But no, Rosa was tired that day. You know, and black man, I'm asking you, are you tired? Look, man, Corey Holcomb is funny. I like Corey. He from the crib. I'm not going to say nothing bogus about Corbin. Matter of fact, I'm going to try hard not to talk bogus about nobody. You know what I'm saying? Ryan Davis, like I say, ain't really heard too much of his comedy, but I hear that brother on Facebook. That man drops some knowledge, and he challenges your thought process. I ain't got no problem with Ryan Davis. You know what I'm saying? You look at a cat like Gilly the Kid. I didn't even know Gilly was a rapper. I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? But what I've seen from Gilly, he do him. He 100% himself when he on the microphone and how he moving out here. I can't knock that. And my man Ross, man, I ain't gonna never act like I ain't listen to Ross music. I ain't gonna never act like I don't work out the Ross music. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm also familiar with Ross though, right? I ain't gonna act like I don't understand what Ross is either. But man, they black men. We as black men, we got to get on the same page with this. And I'm demanding it, man. I'm demanding it because, family, we got to do something. We cannot accept this. This ain't the way it is. We got to have our Rosa Parks moment, family. And we got to say enough is enough. Enough is enough. What is it going to take? What is it going to take? Well, I guess a dude got to walk up and shoot Obama for black men to be like, oh, we got to do something. I mean, damn. I look at cats like the Panthers, the Black Panthers, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Steele, them brothers. They was neighborhood niggas, man. Them homies wasn't politicians. They was neighborhood niggas that was tired of the police kicking their ass. So they picked up their pistols. They started reading. They got their game tight. And they marched on the capital of California, shotguns in hand. They got tired of it, man. They got tired of it. They got tired of it, man. And my question, brother, is, are you tired yet? Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, and thank you for listening to Strictly for the Brothers. Peace. What up, Chicago?